for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
It meant when they determined that they were going to be a part of this movement that we will call Christianity. It meant something to them. And I believe it means something still today. I just think we get distracted. I think we were talking this morning during prayers that we have a team that gathers back there in the Marmy room to pray. And as we were talking, we were talking about commitment. And we're committed to a lot. We're really committed to too much. How many of you are committed to too much? I can raise both hands. I get committed to too much. The word no, I'm still working on it. I don't say it enough. I need to learn to say it more. I just commit to all kinds, and I overcommit, and I overcommit. But I'm going to just tell you, as a people, we need to be committed to Him. And if we're committed to Him, we're committed to one another. Because they're tied together. We're committed to Him first. I always go back to that vertical, and we'll look at that verse in Matthew 22 later on. That love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So there's the vertical and there's the horizontal. And if I'm committed to the vertical, I must be committed to the horizontal. Right? They're tied. They're inseparable. I can't love Him with everything and not love you. And you can't love Him with everything and not love me. They're tied together. So as we look at this idea of worship this morning, I want to clear some things up before, because that's the first term. That's my job, is to kick off worship. You're going to hear from different pastors all the way through this series. But I'm going to kick off with worship and the idea of worship. And we just got finished singing, and I want to tell you something, because sometimes it gets a bad name, because I hear all the time, worship is not singing. Well, yes, it is. It is singing. It's not only singing. Worship is everything. Every aspect of our life can be worship. But it's most definitely singing as well. So during a time when we come and praise His name, and we have what we call praise and worship, and the praise team leads us to the throne, that's worship. It's just one aspect of worship. You can't pigeonhole worship and say, that's all there is. Well, we worship up until that point, and as soon as we finished that, then we started to pray. No, prayer is worship. It is. Preaching and listening and sitting on the Word is worship. When you go out and serve, that's worship. When the people got here early and set up that cafe, that was worship, if they did it as unto the Lord. When the people clean this building up later this week, that's worship, if they do so as unto the Lord. When you go to work, if you honor Him in what you do, that's worship. That's worship. Because absolutely anything and everything Paul writes, turn to Colossians 3 real quick with me. Colossians 3:17 is going to appear up there on your screen. And whatever you do, he says in ESV, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That whatever covers whatever, doesn't it? And if we're doing it to His name, if we're doing it so that we're pointing back to Him, it's an aspect of worship. It's a part of worship. Now, I could do any of the things I just talked about. I can sing. I can play. I can lead in worship. I can preach. I can do anything to my own gain, and it won't be worship. Are you following me? All of those things can be worship, and none of those things can be worship. It really depends on where your heart is at and who it's going to. If we do any of that for self-gain, for self-gratification, for a pat on the back, so people will look at us and think that we're something, if there's any part of me that gets in the way of any aspect of that, then it ceases to be worship of Him and starts to be worship of me. Are you following me? We're going to worship something. And we were geared that way. God created us to worship. You're going to worship something. You're going to worship the image in the mirror or the image that you want to see in the mirror. You're going to worship a job, a position, a person, or you're going to worship Him. That's an easy one for us, right? We should be geared towards, and God created us to worship Him. And as DJ began to talk about that scene in heaven just a moment ago. And we're going to actually turn there in just a second. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Go ahead and turn there. Because what I'm going to do, what I want to begin to do is, real quick, I want to give you four reasons why we worship. I don't normally do lists and stuff like that, but I am this morning, okay? There's four reasons why we worship, four ways that we worship that I want to look at in Scripture. And then we're going to get back to a challenge, something that we're going to come into covenant with. The four reasons why we might worship. The very first one is, we worship out of who He is. We worship out of who He is, the person of Jesus Christ, for He is worthy. We just say, we sing that so often, that He's worthy. Amen? That He's worthy. He's worthy. We worship, the very first reason we worship is that He's worthy of our worship. That scene that we're going to read right now in Isaiah 6, Isaiah has this vision, and I want to read it with you. It is just a powerful picture. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Now, man, every time I read that verse, I think about my brother John. He used to sing, I saw the Lord. And he'd sing that song, and I had in my The picture of the Lord seated upon the throne as Isaiah came in. Isaiah didn't know what to do with that. We're going to find out in just a second. He couldn't do anything with it. He was ripped. He was undone. He was destroyed. Just being in the presence of the Almighty. The train of His robe filling the temple. Pastor Danny, last year, when he spoke at Encounter, it was actually two times ago, I think it was, when he spoke at Encounter, he talked about the train of the robe of a king. And a conquering king, what he would do is as he conquered a nation, he would come in and he would take the robe of the kings that he had conquered and he would attach them to his robe. And that's a whole series of things that I don't even want to talk about because we're in mixed company. But he was a conquering king. And after he had conquered them completely and ended them of their life, he would take their robe and attach it to his robe. So a king who had a long robe meant that he had conquered many. Well, the train of his robe fills the temple. Fills the temple. Isaiah witnessed it. He could see it. He could see it. About him stood the seraphim, and this is what DJ was talking about. Each had six wings. I don't even know what this is going to look like, y'all. I want you to just picture this now in your mind's eye. The seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. Why in the world would he cover his face and feet? Because he's in the presence of the king. Constantly to look upon him. Constantly. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now, I know that when we get to heaven, we're going to live there. I know that this scene will be there. I know that we'll witness it. I don't know that forever we will stand around singing, but you will sing. If you don't like to sing now, you're going to sing this. And guess what? You can sing there. You're all going to sound great. You may not think that you do now, but you're going to sound great. You won't be able to help but to sing there. Holy, holy, holy. The Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, is the way the ESV says it. King James says, I am undone. I'm ruined. I don't even know what to do. I've witnessed, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have witnessed, have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was looking at seraphim that were constantly in worship mode. And he took one glimpse and said, I can't even do this. I'm unclean. I can't. I'm undone. He was ripped right from just... Listen, when we come into the presence of the Almighty, there should be a moment of undone. Even during a time of song worship, a time of prayer on our knees, a time of repentance on your part, when you truly come into the presence of the Lord, there could be a time when you're undone. There could be a time when you recognize that He is God and you are not. There could be a time when you move into His presence realizing how small you really are. And all pride leaves you. And anything that you thought you had to stand on, you recognize that you can't stand. Any justification that you've made in your mind for anything that you've done, you realize that it's of no good. Because you're in the presence of the King, the Almighty. Now, He's a King that loves you. And it's a throne of grace. And we can approach it. We can do that. But you're still going to be undone. There's this picture. Sometimes we look at this New Testament picture, and it happens to be in the New Testament. It's still a picture of the throne of grace that's there. It's afforded to us. There's a throne of grace that we can approach it with confidence. And so there's this idea that we can just come into His presence and it won't be a big deal. Oh, no, it's always a big deal. He's the King. So as we approach Him, we do so with fear and trembling. We do so in awe. We do so undone, but we can do so in confidence, knowing that we're going to be met by a God of grace that loves us dearly. So one reason that we have to worship is just like Isaiah. He's going to recognize that, listen, He's worthy of our praise. He is worthy of the seraphim's praise. They couldn't help but worship, amen? They couldn't help it. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Paul in Acts 16. I'm not going to have you turn there, but you'll remember that story. Here's Paul and Silas in the jail. They've been stripped down. They've been beaten for not for doing anything. They're bloody. They've been placed in a prison. Their feet placed in stocks. It's the middle of the night. It's midnight. They have no hope of getting out. And they are singing praises to the King. And the prisoners took notice. Why were they singing? Because He's worthy. There could have been only one motivation for Paul singing at this point, right? So when that night whispered into it, hey, we're busting you out. You'll be out tomorrow. Don't worry. He didn't. He had no inclination that was going to happen, even though he had seen Peter delivered. He simply prayed because He's worthy of our praise. And he simply sang because He's, for one reason and one reason alone, because He's worthy. Simply because of who He is. Listen, church, that's a powerful reason for you to pray, isn't it? It's a powerful reason for you to worship. One thing that we can be united on is that He is worthy. Amen? Amen. He is worthy. He's always worthy. So when you worship out of who He is, your circumstances don't matter. Because in here, everybody's in different circumstances. Around this altar, everybody's in different circumstances. And most of the time, lots of times we have folks that come around and they're praying over other people. And they don't even always know. Sometimes they know their circumstances and sometimes they don't. But you know who does know? Holy Spirit. The Father knows. The Son knows. The Holy Spirit in you knows. So when we go and intercede over them, we can pray over them with confidence. And we can worship in confidence. And they can come this morning and worship simply if for no other reason because He's worthy. So sometimes we want a reason for worship, don't we? I showed up. I got here this morning. How many of you just showed up this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. But like it was a chore to get here. Do you feel like, okay, Lord, this is good. I'm here. I can't say much else, but I'm here. You need a reason to worship? He's worthy. Pretty good reason, isn't it? You can't say, well, He did this for me or He did this for me. No, He's worthy. That's the number one reason for worship, right? Number two, second reason that you can come to Him and worship is we can worship out of what He's done for us. as what he's done for us. You've been forgiven if you're here, church. If you're here, if you're a believer, you've been forgiven much. Back to that Isaiah passage really quick in Isaiah chapter 6. The next thing that happens with Isaiah, in verse 6, it says, then one of the city, remember he just said, my lips are unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Now, he wasn't just talking about his lips. He was talking about his person. He recognized who he was before the king. One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. Now, it was hot. He didn't come over there with it in his wings. He came over there with tongs. The altar was hot. The incense that was burning there, the altar was hot. It was real. The live coal was hot. And he came and he picked it up with the tongs, and he comes and he places it on Isaiah's lips. He touches his lips. He says, behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt has been taken away, and your sin atoned for. Listen, this is a precursor, this is a picture of what Christ is going to do on the cross for us. It's what he did. He went through the fire, literally, for you. He hung on the cross and took all of your sin. And your sin, whether even if you don't... let me ask you this question real quick, okay? When Christ died and hung on the cross for you, do you recognize that he paid the price for your sin, whether you receive it or not? Because he didn't only die for the ones that said yes to him. He died for all of us. For the sin of the entire world, offers them the free gift of salvation. Whether they receive it is up to them. He knows who will take hold and who doesn't. But he died for everyone. His blood was poured out for everyone. Your sin was atoned for all of you. All you have is but to receive it. All you have is but to say yes. To take hold of that. This picture that Isaiah paints right here, it was a picture of being forgiven. Man, he was undone, and then at once he was cleansed. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us if his lips burned. They say it. But I'm betting they didn't. As hard as it was, I don't know, this is just a picture that I was chewing on this week as I was relating it to the cross, and I'm thinking that he took 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails for you and me. His body was ripped to shreds for you and I. He hung on a cross in the most excruciating form of execution that man has ever known. He did all of that for you. When you received forgiveness, how much of that did you feel? You might not have, but it didn't lessen the fact that he did it for you. He did it for you. Isaiah knew it. He was ready to say, here am I, send me, Lord. He was ready to worship at that point. Whatever it takes, Lord. This picture, every time and we just spoke about this last week, so we'll not turn there either. But last week we were talking about Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7, you see the woman, the notorious sinner, the woman who in all likelihood was a prostitute, and she pushes her way, she moves and pushes her way into Simon the Pharisee's home where Jesus is. And she worship in an incredibly extravagant way. She grabs hold of his feet and she won't let go. She weeps so much that tears wet his feet. She dries them with her hair. She anoints them with oil. And as I told you last week, there was one purpose in that. It was the only reason that she did that is because she had been forgiven much. He had been forgiven much. That's what Jesus said. That was his own word. Because Simon's thinking, do you even know who it is that's got hold of your feet? If you did, you'd tell her to get away. No, she's been forgiven much. Church, you have been forgiven much. So if you want a reason to worship this morning, worship because of what He's done for you. You've been forgiven much. This may not have been your story. Her story was, some of it may have been your story. But I don't care whether you came out of a jail. I don't care whether you've been in addiction. I don't care whether you've been in prostitution. I don't care whether you're a liar or a thief or anything else in between. I don't care if you're the most self-righteous person that ever lived. His blood atoned for your sin. And you've been forgiven much. Amen? You could have grown up in it and thought, man, he got a real bargain with me. He did not. He didn't get a bargain with you. He didn't get a deal. You had a lot of sin that needed atoning for. So did I. And His blood was enough, amen? And when you worship out of what He's done for you, when you recognize how much you've been forgiven, your worship will be extravagant. It'll look like that woman's worship. At different times, I see it in here. Now, some of you, this doesn't mean that all worship has to be demonstrative. I know that sometimes it's demonstrative worship. Sometimes you've been in a pit, and you come out of the pit, and you can't help it. You're going to his feet. You're going to grab him. You're going to weep. You're going to cry. And you're going to hang on to him because you love him. Because you know how much you've been forgiven. Because you know where you've been, and you know where he's taking you. Amen? Sometimes it's just like that. Other times, you know where he's been. And you know you've been delivered, and you can't move. Maybe you can't even speak. Maybe you just sit right there with your hands open. That's just as extravagant as the person that's here and can't move. Amen? It's the same. Never judge another person's worship form. Never look at somebody else and say, oh, they're doing it wrong or they're doing it right. Worship is between you and the Savior. And when you worship, again, out of what He's done for you, your worship will be extravagant. Amen? Amen. Number three. Listen, we can worship Him out of a great love for Him. We should worship Him out of a great love for Him. But here's the trick. 1 John chapter 4 tells me that I love because He loved me first. You know that? 4:19. We love because He loved us first. Pretty simple little verse. How many of you will commit to memorize that this week? Seriously. Memorize it. We love because He loved us first. He first loved us. Oh, I loved Him first. Nope, you didn't. You really didn't. He loved you right off the bat. John 3:16 says that, for God so loved Terry. For God so loved Dale. For God so loved Greg. For God so loved Mary. For God so loved Eric. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He loved first. His provision of His Son on the cross, that decision was made long ago. It wasn't a knee-jerk reaction on God's part. Oh, I got to do something now. Adam and Eve have messed it up. No, He already knew. The plan was already in place. He loved first. Amen? So when you recognize how much you've been loved, automatically you begin to love Him back. That was the shift for me. I've told you all my story before in my testimony, but the shift for me was, I feared the Lord. I grew up under the fear of the Lord. I grew up in a church that where the preacher yelled a lot. He yelled a lot, okay? And so I was afraid of God. I was afraid of being sent to hell in my mind. That was like, sent to hell. I didn't realize that I would choose hell is what I did, because God doesn't send anybody to hell. Don't know that. He doesn't send anybody there. You choose to go there. He made a way for you to go to heaven. So I was afraid of hell, and I got saved because I didn't want to go there. And so I understood the fear of the Lord. Every time I messed up, I thought He's fixing to smack me. But I didn't understand how much He loved me.
I didn't love him back. I hear people talk about, I love the Lord, and I'm like, I'm afraid of him. I'm talking about as a kid. You know when I began to love the Lord? Backing up to point number two, when I began to realize what he'd done for me. When I realized how much I've been forgiven, then I recognized how much he loved me, and I fell in love with him. I recognized that the Lord forgave me of all of that. He forgave me of everything I've ever done and everything I'll ever do. He loved me that much, and I began to fall in love with the Savior. And I began to speak with him like I was in love with him. I began to tell him that I love him. Church, get in the practice of telling Jesus that you love him. I don't know if I can do that. Quiet. He loved you first. Get in the practice of just saying the words, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. There's a reason for it. I'm going to get to that reason in just a second. There's a reason for us to do that, especially in front of our kids. There's a reason even for us to just speak it just for us, because it reinforces where we're at, right? I love you, Lord. We can worship because we love him. You should worship because you love him. Who he is, what he's done, because we love him. Great reason for worship, wouldn't you say? Try the fourth reason, what he's still doing. He not only did for you, he's still doing for you. What we've just come out of in this series on the Holy Spirit, that the very last 3 weeks we talked about being in partnership with the Holy Spirit, right? And as you walk about this world in partnership with the Holy Spirit, you'll recognize that he's still doing. He's still working. He's still providing opportunities for you. He's still opening doors for you. He's still making a way for you. He's still directing your steps. Just this last week, and I've got 100 of these I could share from the last week, because through this whole journey that we've been walking, Fran and I, this cancer journey through this whole time, God has directed our steps every single time. So just this last week on Thursday, she's got chemo appointment that's supposed to be at 9:30 in the morning. The first thing that happens is they back it up to 11:30. We're set to go at 9:30, now it's at 11:30, okay? We leave a little early. We get there early, 30 minutes. And as we're getting there, we open the door, and coming out of the door our way is Fran's cousin, who has cancer that we didn't know was in that room. And they're moving him from there across the street to Longwood to the emergency room. And this look on his face, as I look at him in the face, and I recognition is, this is Bill. I look at him, and he all he could say was, she's right there. He points at his wife, and she's doing paperwork. And all we had was just a moment that we could pray with him. Because she didn't know what was going on with her husband. She just knew they're taking him. He's already got cancer, and they're taking him from here to the emergency room because they can't treat him today. And God put us there 2 hours late and 30 minutes early, so we walk through the door just as they're coming out the door. Do you know that he still has appointments for us? He directs our steps, amen? That's what he does. He directs your steps. He's still, every day, making appointments for you. If you listen to his Spirit and walk with his Spirit, he'll tell you what to do and when to do it. You'll just begin to recognize, oh, that was God. Well, that was God. I ended up here. Look at that. I ran into you today. Praise him. It was a touch. It was an appointment. It was an assignment that he had. Something that I had to answer. God's still working. He's still speaking. So there's times during the day that he gives me opportunity to say thank you. There's times for gratitude. There's times for praise. There's times for, Lord, I need you. Lord, go before me. But all of that equates to worship if it's pointed back to him. Every single little appointment that we run into, if it's pointed back to him. Corporate worship and individual worship. Listen, I've been talking to you about individual worship, but we're called to corporate worship corporately. You know that's what we're doing right now? We come together corporately to worship. That's when the church gathers, there's corporate worship. And everything that I've described to you can be personal reasons for corporate worship, but it can also be personal reasons for individual worship that happen all throughout the week. Listen to me, church. You will worship on Sunday morning to the depth that you've worshiped throughout the week. If you just showed up and said, well, that's 2 hours long, 10 to 12, worshiping for 2 hours, that ought to be enough, right, Lord? Well, that's all you're getting. Now, He wants you to be in tune with Him every moment of every day. Every aspect of your life, an aspect of worship. Every part of your life, a part of worship. But He also wants you to come and be together. Now, nobody takes role here. And even after we come in covenant with one another, we're not taking role, okay? I'm not going to take role. Except for the fact that if we haven't seen you for a couple of weeks, I hope we know it enough so that we can say, hey, brother, I missed you. But we're a large crowd. As far as people can fall through the cracks, that happens all the time. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I happen to think Paul wrote Hebrews. I don't know. Some people think Timothy wrote Hebrews. But I think Paul wrote it. Even though we don't know the author, here's what the author says in chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to spur up one another. Some of you might read spur one another on. I like that too. You cowboys, you know what spurring on means, right? We're going to stick spurs to them. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near, as you see the day approaching. Don't give up meeting together. Don't do that. Don't say, well, you know what, I'm worshiping during the week, I don't have to come together. No, make it a habit regularly to come together because we encourage one another. That's part of it. We spur one another on. And the day is approaching. What's the day? In my Bible, it's capital D, the day. The day is approaching. The day is when we'll see Jesus. The day when He'll return. The day when all of our assignment that we're on right now will be over. Right now, we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit, and we must be in partnership with the Holy Spirit with the idea that we're pointing people back to Christ. The day is approaching, and it's approaching fast. There's going to come a day when we won't need any of the gifts of the Spirit because we'll have Him face to face. There's going to come a day when we won't need to meet together like this because we'll be together always. There won't be time when we're separated, but we'll be in His presence and together. Are you following me? The day's approaching. It's approaching. But don't neglect meeting together. I want to tell you a quick story. I'm 11 years old. Okay? 11 years old. So this is by 1976. I was born in 65. So 11 years old. And I've told this story before in here, so some of y'all remember it, but I'm racing go-karts for the first time, and I'm loving it. I had my first go-kart race, and I won. I mean, I was on my way to being the next Steven Bruner, Danny Bodden, Jesse Bodden. I was going to be one of those guys. That's what I was going to be. It was coming. I knew it was coming. Yeah, it's still time. So it was just the old dirt track at Quilston, which is where this was. The old dirt track was down in the middle of the cane field. They were closing it down. They were opening up this brand new race track that they currently race at now. Very first race. We go and race there. And we're riding back, and we're in the front of the truck. And now, back then, we didn't, you know, how many of you remember when they didn't have crew cab trucks? They just had single cab trucks. So here's this seat, and here's Daddy and Mama and Ryan and me in the front seat. Yeah. We're all crowded in there. And I'm listening to the conversation that Mama's having with Dad. And the conversation goes something like this. Dad says, Patrice, The go-kart races have been moved to 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. You know what that means? I can remember like it yesterday. He says, yeah, I know, but it's, you know. And she says, no, you know what that means, Jerry. He says, that means we won't be doing it. And I'm like, no! No! Come on, Mom! No, we won't be doing it. Because we made a commitment to the Lord to be in His house on Sunday. Now, I want you to, this bears saying, I love my grandparents, both my sets of grandparents, my dad's parents and my mom's parents, but neither of them were in God's house on Sunday morning. But my parents made the decision to do that. My mama's sister, Cheryl, and Wayne, they made the decision to do that. And because of that, all of their kids and their grandkids and all of my mama's great grandkids are in church on Sunday morning. One of them was a pastor, and one of them was going to plant a church soon. Because they decided they were going to make the commitment because it's important. Amen? It's important. It's not a take role thing, it's not that at all. It's simply decisions that we make will change the trajectory of our family down the road. Decisions that we make today, little small decisions, will change the entire trajectory of our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. Choose wisely, amen? Choose wisely. Because I know that the choice, that choice that they made, is the exodus. I'm not saying you can't ever miss. You're going to have to miss. We miss. When we miss, when we're on vacation, we try to find a place to worship because worship is important. It's not about being married to this church. This is just the part of the body that you're a part of that you choose to worship with. Amen? And we're thankful for you, and we want you to join us in worship here when you can. Amen? That's what covenant looks like. But wherever you're at, worship. Wherever you're at, find a part of the body and worship there. Because the commitment to worship is because He's worthy. The commitment to worship is because of what He's done for you. The commitment to worship is because you love Him. The commitment to worship is because of what He's still doing every single day. Every single day. Church, would you covenant with us to worship? To be active in worship, not just to be active here. Yes, praise God, be here. When you can be here, be here. If you're a once-a-month person, try to be a twice-a-month person. If you're a twice-a-month person, try to be a three-times-a-month person. If you're a four-times-a-month person, you're preaching next week. No, I'm just kidding. If you're here every Sunday, praise God. Because what you're doing is you're teaching children that this is our pattern. This is what we do. Pretty soon they'll say, Mom and Dad, are we going to church? It's Sunday. It'll become important to them. Now, you can come every week and sit here every week and still not have a relationship with Him. Because you can park in the garage, take a seat there, and it won't make you a car. Right? You can make your home in the garage. It doesn't make you an automobile. So you can come to church every week, and it doesn't make you a Christian. You must be in a relationship with Him. You won't actually worship until you're in a relationship with Him. You can sing a song. You can pray a prayer. You can read Scripture. You can do things. But until you're in relationship with Him, it's not worship. It's just an act of a dead religion. But He wants a relationship with you. He loves you enough that He sent His only Son to die for you and invites you into relationship. Amen? I'm going to call the praise team up, and I'm going to ask you to bow your head. The Lord wants you to change the trajectory of your family. But He'll start by changing the trajectory of your life if you don't know Him today. If you don't know Him today, you need to know that heaven is real and so is hell. You need to know that God loves you enough that He provided a way for you to be in a relationship with Him. That way is through His Son, Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. He offers you this free gift of grace. Grace that covers all of your sins. I was kidding about Stephen earlier, but one of his favorite things he says, and I love it, he says, God's better in loving than you are sinning. You know what? He's better in loving than you are sinning. He is. He loves you. And right now is your chance. If you don't know Him today, but you want to, if you've never given your life to Him, I'm telling you, it'll change your destiny forever. It changes your eternity forever. If you're here and you don't know Him, but you want to, just slip a hand up. I'll send one person to you, that's all. It's your chance right now. It's your chance, anywhere. Anywhere. Don't wait till we come. God loves you, He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. But He is a just God. He can't look upon sin. That's why He sent His Son. That's why Jesus went through what He went through. That's why He bled and died on the cross. To cover your sin. So one more chance. You don't know Him, but you want Him. Maybe you just got questions. You just got questions. Just put a hand up. You can see me afterwards if you want to. Come see me afterwards. I'll be glad. I'd love to tell you how to be saved. Heads bowed, eyes closed, church. Let's change the very trajectory of our family. Amen. Let's covenant together to worship. Not just on Sunday. Yes, let's worship on Sunday. But let's worship throughout the week. Let's worship in front of our kids. Let's worship with our kids. Let's teach them to pray. Let's let them see us glorifying His name. Let them see us. Let them catch you reading your Bible. Let them catch you ministering to someone. Let them see that and change everything about the generations below you. One great decision, boy, goes a long way, doesn't it? Just lift your hands to heaven and pray with me. Father, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And Lord, we just come together. Lord, we just come and covenant together. We want to agree together, Lord, and agree with You that You are worthy of our worship. Lord, we want to agree with You, Lord, that we're able to worship You out of what You've done for us. Thank You, God, for salvation. Thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, we agree with You, and we come just in agreement that, Lord, we love You because You love us first. And we can worship out of a deep love for You, Father. And we can also continue to worship You because You are still at work in our lives. You're still at work all around us. Lord, thank You for all of those things. Lord, teach us to worship. Lord, let us raise up the generation and the next generation and the next generation of worship. We love You, Father. We bless Your name. Amen. Y'all stand with me and let's pray. Thank you. Authentic in our worship. Amen. Let's worship from our heart. Lord, we love you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those who have come to worship together corporately. And as we go out the door, Lord, let us worship individually. Let us worship day by day. Lord, let everything that we say and do, we do it unto your name, so that you'll be glorified. We point people back to you all the time, Lord, taking no credit for anything that you're doing, but giving you all credit. Let our lives point back to you. Let our words point back to you. Let our deeds point back to you. And let us be one. We covenant together. Worship you. Your mighty name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.